The question today is, what is God like? This is the fourth part of this question, and we've said the best way to know what God's like, because we do have a wrong concept of God, but the best way to know what He's like is look at His names. And His names reveal His person and His character and how He operates. Now, the main one that's translated God, even though there's 10 words that's translated God, some of them used only one or two times. And by the way, it doesn't matter if it's used only one time. There's still an importance of it, of those translations. But the main one is in the beginning God. In Genesis 1:1, which is Elohim, which is a plural name, which it means the strong one who's able to redeem and did redeem this earth, if you please, in what we call the six-day creation. And as a result, he's able to, since he did that, and he's able to redeem fallen man. Now, all three were involved, and by the way, the word God there is in plural, which means God is exceptional, and God is a unity, or a trinity, or a triune being. There's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so all three were involved in creation, and all three are involved in salvation of man. And so therefore we need to understand that. Now there's some other names, and all of them basically point to the Elohim, the strong one. But we started dealing last time, I think it was, with another name, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. and that phrase, that name actually means it's Jehovah. It's used over 6,000 times in the Bible. And it means the self-existent one who stands alone with no aid from anybody or any other being in this world or out of this world. It also means the self-existent one who reveals himself to man. And I will say this, as Elohim, he's the strong one. As the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, he's the one who wants to reveal himself to fallen man. Now, we said that this is a redemptive name of God. And as a redeemer, and that's who he is. In other words, it's a beautiful picture or type of righteousness provided by the Lord God through sacrifice. And that, of course, Jesus being the supreme sacrifice. But we begin looking last time at the attributes of God, and we're only dealing with three that we're associating with this name. The name reveals His holiness. In other words, an attitude of heart. He's a holy God, and He said, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." The only way you can ever be holy is to have a work of God done, what's called the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. And that is, of course, what the word holy means, set apart, to be sanctified. And he'll bring you to that place to where you can be holy as I'm holy. Not that you'll have a holier-than-thou attitude, but he wants us to be that way. And so in God, we see that he's a holy God. He's a holy God, his holiness. But another attribute was his hatred and judgment of sin. And we look just a little bit at that. We know that God will not at all acquit the wicked. But folks, I want to tell you, Jesus nailed his only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary. And as a result, he was satisfied with his sacrifice there on Calvary. And so that's the redemptive aspect that's brought into being. In other words, and that's Jehovah and his holiness. And so is also his attribute of hatred for sin, as we see that. There, but we said now the devil tried to tell you that God doesn't love you. That God, I've had preachers that tried to say that God doesn't love anybody but those who were saved, and that was after you're saved. That's not really scriptural. Listen, one of his attributes that's brought into play is that his love for and the redemption of sinners. Did not he in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned there? Did he not come to the place that he actually? What did he do? Clothed, the Bible says in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam and his wife, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. The redemptive aspect there, if you please. He had a sacrifice, the just dying for the unjust. And that's what happened. Innocent animal, which was a picture of the supreme sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Did not, in Exodus chapter 12, when they were delivered from Egypt, Was there not a sacrifice offered that day and blood shed and blood applied to the doorpost and lintel that they might be delivered from bondage in Egypt? Sure it was. It was. And then on the Day of Atonement, we find in the fall when the high priest had to enter in the Holy of Holies, on the Day of Atonement, there had to be a sacrifice First of all, there had to be a sacrifice for himself as the high priest, and then a sacrifice for the people. But thank God our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is Jehovah, did not have to make a sacrifice for himself. He was the supreme sacrifice for all mankind. And so, therefore, their salvation by Jehovah, apart from sacrifice, is unknown in the Scripture. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he," meaning a personified lamb, if you please, which is a fulfillment of all the Old Testament types, "but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so we see that Jesus is the supreme sacrifice, because Jehovah loved sinners. John chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so therefore, we see that God hates sin, and sin must be punished. And it was in Jesus Christ, the supreme sacrifice. And the Lord said, "I'm satisfied with my sacrifice." That was his only begotten Son, if you please. So the first distinct revelation of himself by his name Jehovah was in connection with the redemption of the covenant. He revealed himself to Moses on the backside of the desert, if you please. There, when Moses, you see, Moses was a man that really, some people say Moses for the first 40 years of his life thought he was somebody. And then he, after going through the process he did and having to flee from Egypt and go out the backside of the desert by himself and following those sheep around for 40 more years, thought he was a nobody. Found out he was a nobody. He thought he was somebody. Found out he was a nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life, as God used him to deliver the children of Israel, Moses found out that God can take a nobody and make somebody out of them. But at any rate, he revealed himself to him that day in the backside of the desert when the bush didn't burn. Now, a lot of people think that's strange. Moses was there, and of course he looked aside and saw the bush. But the amazing part about it, Moses had probably seen many bushes that was consumed by fire, because the heat was so great, and those little pods on that bush had gases in those, and they actually would ignite, and of course they would be consumed. The amazing part about this bush was that it was burning, and wasn't consumed. And there, as he turned aside, he stopped to turn aside, and when he did, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, revealed himself to him there as the God. Told him to pull off his shoes, his own holy ground. And Moses met God, the Lord, that day. I mean Jehovah that day. And he told him, said, "I want you to go back and deliver my people Israel." You see, the redemptive aspect of Jehovah, his name means. He wants to redeem his people. He wants to reveal himself to man. And he did to Moses and said, "I want my people to be delivered out of Egypt." And so Moses felt like he was inadequate for the job. But the thing about it, he said, "Who am I going to tell that sent me? Who am I going to tell that sent me?" And what did the Lord say to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14? "Tell them the I Am sent you." In other words, and that's who it was, the I Am that I Am. It's all capital letters, by the way. Literally, it means he that is who he is. Therefore, the eternal I Am has sent you. Not I was. He didn't say I was sent you or I will sent you, but I Am. The ever-present, eternal, self-existent, absolute, unchanging one. Who is that I Am? Well, he's ever-present. That's what he told Moses in Exodus 3:12. In other words, he's going to always be with them. And by the way, I believe Exodus is whenever Moses' salvation experience had come when he was 80, come on him when he was 80 years old, when God revealed himself to Moses as the I Am, or the Lord, or Jehovah. And so therefore, he's called the Lord Jehovah at that time. He's one and the same. The ever-present, I Am ever-present to save, to help, to deliver, to redeem, to bless, and to keep. I Am is who he said he was. That's whom the Lord Jehovah revealed himself to Moses at the backside of the desert that day. Now, that's not a complete sentence, so he wants us to complete that sentence. I am your peace. I am your power. I am your pardon. I am your presence. I am your provision. I am your assurance. I am your joy. I am your today. I am your tomorrow. In other words, I am all you will ever need forever. I am that I am. And so therefore, we find that he revealed himself to Moses there as the I am. That's the Lord did that. And as we understand that, that's Jehovah, the God who is ever present with his people to help and redeem them and to keep covenant with them. That's because redemption is his characteristic. Now you notice the I am, the Jehovah, or the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is the ever-present, self-existent one. In other words, Elohim says, I am able. And Jehovah says, I'll do it. Now, who does that sound like? I'm talking about all these names together. Well, John saw the Lord like nobody else saw him before. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 17 and 18, he said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, I'll tell you who it is. That's Jehovah, Elohim, if you please, is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom John saw. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse number 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, you realize as he said that, the Jews knew this was a claim to deity, the one who revealed himself to Moses at the backside of the desert. Now, some people say, oh, that's not so. Jesus is not in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, he is. Lord is used over 6,000 times. And it's referring to Jehovah. It's referring to the I Am. It's referring to the Lord Jesus who himself said in John chapter 8, verse 58, I am, I am. In other words, he's the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't want to believe that today. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they won't witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah of the Old Testament, if you please, at this time. In fact, Jesus said, it said of Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is the I Am. Now, in John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, if you'll notice that verse of Scripture in the King James Bible, that he is in italics there. And that means it's supplied by the translators, because really what Jesus said to them, if you believe not that I am, you've got to believe that I am the one who met Moses at the backside of the desert, you see. And that's why they took up stones and wanted to kill him. John 8:59 says they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So who is this I am? Who is this Lord? Who is this God, Elohim? It's the Lord Jesus Christ is who it is today. And so may God help us to receive him as our Lord and Savior. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.